Donut Bag is brought to you by ExpressVPN. Your data is your business. Protect it with ExpressVPN for 3 extra months free with a 1-year package. Go to the link listed in my Twitter profile.
Okay, so Steelers win 20-10 over the Saints. And I'm kind of annoyed because they were good. It's a whole different team with TJ Watt. And is this just a crappy team with a good player, or is this an okay team? Or like, if you took every other team's best player off their team, would they be bad too? I don't know. It's kind of annoying.
I think you gotta have a guy like Watt, you know, he's so good. He sparks that momentum. He's so good on defense. I think his play on defense actually affects the offense. And you could probably, you know, list maybe 10 players in at least our time that I can remember, you know, doing that. Yeah. I think even Terry Bradshaw was on one of the pregame shows I watched. And he was talking about how, you know, those 70s Steelers teams made his job so much easier and also fired them up. And I think that's the same effect he has. And I don't think his defense has necessarily been horrible. It's not been as good as we would have liked. But, you know, you take a mediocre defense and you add him into it, and all of a sudden, could you imagine if Fitzpatrick would have played? I mean, they played pretty darn well without him. So, yeah. You know, I think the answer to your question is I don't think it's that bad of a team. It's just missing some key players, and he's obviously one of them. And maybe the biggest key player. Which normally that's the quarterback.
Right. Usually, I mean, it's funny. Like 5 years ago, your best player was either the quarterback, Antonio Brown, or Le'Veon Bell. And they had this amazing offense. And it's, you know, those great players basically propelled that team. And now it's the complete opposite. Now all your good players are in defense. And yeah, that's okay too. But, yeah, it'll be amazing once Minka comes back, and when he gets back, and if this defense gets the full strength, that's going to be scary.
Yeah, I noticed you posted some things about Hightower. He had a great game yesterday. I thought that was a good call on your part. You know, and I think that's one of those things where he just brings the best out in Hightower. That's also because
Highsmith.
Yeah, or I'm sorry, Highsmith, Hightower. wow, I must have been watching too much Police Academy. Bubba Smith. You know, with Highsmith, you're right. But of course, that brings out the best opposing blockers, leaving Highsmith to kind of wreak havoc. And but I just feel like he brings out the best. It kind of reminds me of, like, you know, when Larry Foote brought out the best in Timmons and some of those guys. I think they complemented each other so well. So that's what Watt does, right? He complements so many players on this team well. It's a different team, not a different defense. It's a different team when he's on there and he's out there.
Yeah. The big difference between this game and the other game TJ Watt played week one against the Bengals is the Steelers offense at the time was so bad. It was ridiculous. I mean, the Steelers would cause a fumble or an interception or something like that, and then have a 3-and-out and either get a field goal or just give the ball right back. It was just the most lopsided thing ever. But in this game, I believe the time of possession was, I think the Steelers had like 38 minutes time of possession.
Well, they had 217 rushing yards.
Yeah.
And I think people were kind of forgetting the fact that the week prior, they had 144 yards against the Eagles, giving them 361 yards over the last 2 weeks. That's their highest back-to-back week total since 2014. So that's pretty impressive. I think we saw the old Najee yesterday too, Joe. That was a Najee from last year. So it's not like he was all those people saying he's a bust. And I think he put that to bed yesterday, showing he's still there. He still got it.
He ran different this past game than in the previous times of the season. I think the bye did him a lot of good. It seemed like he that one run, that long run he had was amazing. He just was so decisive, and then he was running over people. That's exactly what you want. That's it.
Yeah, that's, he trucked a few guys.
Yeah, yeah. That's the formula. That is the formula right there. That was the blueprint right there for how they want to play. Don't make any mistakes. Have a strong running game and an awesome defense. You can win a lot of games that way.
Yeah, and Jaylen Warren came in, I think, where you wanted to, and he was productive when he needed to be, but it was clear how Harris was the best back on that field yesterday on either side of the ball. And that's, you know, how many games have we talked now on some of your podcasts where there was for teams that, what part of the frustration for you and me was they were losing the teams. They still probably were beatable. And yesterday they beat a team they should have, and they beat them fairly soundly, especially in that second half. They controlled that second half of that game in particular, and they beat a team they should have beat yesterday.
Yeah, it's really frustrating because the Patriots game was definitely winnable. The Jets game was winnable, you know, and now, you know, we'd be looking at a 5-4 team and a completely different outlook on this season.
Yeah.
So,
I think it's clear the Bengals are still the best team. But the AFC could be up for grabs because they could beat the Bengals. They could beat the Bengals. If that defense plays like they did yesterday, they could beat the Bengals because that Bengals offensive line is going to have a nightmare trying to contain Watt and Highsmith like that.
Well, we talked about what happens when you take away your team's best player. Jamar Chase is not their best player, but he's darn near close.
Right.
And they are a completely different team without him. And then basically they rely on Joe Mixon in the running game. And yes. To me, the key to the whole defense is Larry Ogunjobi. Protect that man at all costs, cover him in bubble wrap. Do whatever you need to do, but Larry Ogunjobi needs to be healthy. He needs to be doing stuff and effective. And if he is able to, I think they could shut down Mixon.
Oh, I think they could too. I mean, because if you remember right in that game, TJ Watt blew him up on one play, just blew him up for like a 4 or 5 yard loss. And, you know, I mean, he was there yesterday. It was like the first play he made. He tackled a running back for, you know, like a half yard loss. I mean, he's just a freak. And so now with him back, and you figure Fitzpatrick's probably out this week too with that appendectomy. You know, there's a couple games that maybe you and I thought they weren't going to win that they probably could. So, you know, are they going to make the playoffs? Most likely not. But yeah, I mean, all of a sudden we're seeing, and I think we were all like, how good's Watt going to be? Well, it didn't look like he lost much yesterday. In fact, maybe he might get better.
But yeah, I think he will get better. I think he was not as at 100% because he was saying himself, he said it was like my legs were noodle out there. I mean, he was still, you know, you could, I'm sure he's a workout warrior. I'm sure he's, you know, working out, but that's still not game shape. So he got that out of the way, so hopefully he's back in game shape now. So he could be even better and more dominant, and that's scary and exciting.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it was interesting. Cam Hayward saying earlier today that, you know, it was so good not to have to turn around back and yell at the linebackers too what the play was and see them being confused. It was like he said he was just back in rhythm. The communication was there. We were flowing. He was calling out plays. You know, I mean, he said even, you know, he said Bush played better, which I thought he played as good as Devin Bush can play. There was one there. He hit that tight end. I forget what it was. The tight end rode him for like 7 yards until I think it was a safety came up and finally helped him tackle him. But, you know, to each his own.
yeah, that's all you could hope for. It's just lowered expectations. But that's the other thing is Miles Jack didn't play in the game. No. Miles Jack, if he, you know, I think he's coming back for this game. That's also exciting because I think he could bring another dimension. So yeah, this defense could get any even better.
Yeah, Spillane's a good player. I think everybody loves him. He's a gritty player. He's just not the guy you want in pass protection for the majority of the game. He's just not. I mean, he's, for all his great things he does, he's not going to be good for four quarters.
If only the offense just announced what they were going to do before the play. I was like, we're going to run. It's like, okay, bring in Splane.
Bring in Splane. Yeah, it's going to be great.
We're going to pass. Okay, go away, Splane. Go away.
Yeah.
That's a thing. I mean, my goodness, that fourth down stop where it was like, I think it was like second and one, third and one, and fourth and one, or something like that. And he stopped them every time. And Splane was a big part of that. So that was awesome.
And it's funny that he's coming back, Joe, with the Bengals now, you know, next up, because I think the Colts and Falcons are winnable games. You beat the Bengals, I think they become extremely winnable. I mean, they're going to be really pumped up if they can bet by the Bengals. You might see, you know, a little bit of rebound. Maybe they will make a run at, you know, above 500. You beat the Bengals next week and sweep the Bengals this year. That's huge. it's huge.
If you beat the Bengals will be 5-5 and the Steelers will be 4-6. And then they just have to catch the Ravens, who are at 6-3. You're three games behind, but it's doable, especially when you play them twice still.
Yeah,
it's doable. And the Ravens are not that, or they're good, but they're not that good.
No, I think that they're very deceiving 6-3. I don't think that they're any better than the Bengals. And I think the Bengals are actually better than they are. So I agree. Now look, you lose to the Bengals, which they could. I mean, that Bengals team can get hot. But the Colts and Falcons games are pretty winnable at this point. So, and I think Watt's got to be probably pumped up for that game. It's at home. You know, he just destroyed them almost single-handedly that first week. And I think he's going to be pumped up for that game. I don't know if Fitzpatrick will see. Boy, it would be really nice to have Fitzpatrick back, though. But it seems like people are saying he's out, and I get it. I had an emergency appendectomy once, and it was pretty brutal. And he's a fine-tuned athlete. I'm not. That's why I'm here.
Like everything I'm saying is everything I'm seeing is like minimum 2 weeks. like really, really 4 weeks if you want to even think about starting to do something. Obviously he's a world-class athlete, so it might be a little bit quicker, but still, I don't think it's possible for him to come back in after 2 weeks.
Hey, the defensive backfield had some great plays yesterday, Joe. Some great plays.
Oh yeah. Levi Wallace,
yep,
I think had an interception. And DeMonte Casey was really good too. So that's exciting. Apparently what they want to do when all the safeties are healthy is have some kind of three safety rotation or something like that. But
I think they do. But yeah, I mean, Wallace probably played his best game of the year yesterday. So, yeah, I mean, there's some hope there. I don't know. What's Jamar Chase's status? Last I looked, I don't know if he's going to be back this week or not.
I hope not.
Yeah, let's hope not, right. He's a nightmare matchup for anybody, let alone the Steelers. So, it's kind of sat there yesterday and you're like, okay, this is a team they should have beat. Because a couple weeks prior, you're like, probably going to lose this game. But as that went on, you felt like they're going to beat these guys. This is Steeler football. And I think it's been a while since we've been able to say that's Steeler football. Yeah, Pickett moved around pretty well yesterday. I think, again, not to harp on Matt Canada, there were some plays calling that I just did not get, especially in that first and second quarter. You know, Saints are in cover too, and they're throwing slant plays out to Gentry and stuff like that. I just was not getting. So I felt Pickett was good despite some poor play calling. He wasn't a fantasy, phenom yesterday. He wasn't, among the top 10 passers, I don't think, but he had a good day to win.
I think he struggled a little bit, but the important thing is he didn't throw any interceptions. And they were just able to eat up some time and eat up some plays. And that's, keep the defense off the field to get them rested. So, I mean, even if that's all the purpose is, then that's good enough. But it's really encouraging that the running game got going. That is amazing. And hopefully
that's part of it, right? I think that took the pressure off him. He doesn't feel like he's got to throw the ball 40 times and complete it, you know, every single time. So a huge pressure release for him on the running game. Offensive line did better run-wise. Now the pass protection's starting to really crap the bed. I mean, he got killed on you know, that one sack. Just, I mean, that was a backbreaker. He got crushed. Don't want to see that. Just yeah. There's some of that stuff. Dan Moore Jr., he's just having a rough year.
Yeah.
Him and Devin Bush.
He's the Devin Bush of the offensive line.
He is. Ugh. He really is. But yeah, those were some things there that they got to clean up. But I don't particularly feel like the Bengals defense is this blitz happy juggernaut defense that, you know, you got to worry about. So I think they're more even on what people are going to say. I bet you the Bengals open up on a big spread. Like all the experts are going to pick the Bengals, but I think this game now could be closer than what everyone's going to say.
I think it's very winnable. Yeah. Yeah, well, I just wonder if Joe Burrow is going to just have nightmares from week one, because that was his worst game ever.
Yeah, it was, and that's the other guy. Now Joe Burrow's, he could be up for this game too. And like I said, it wouldn't shock me if we're together again in a week or whatever, and you know, we're tweeting together again on Sunday, and Bengals are taking it to him. But I have hope that we actually might be able to win this game.
I have a good feeling. A good feeling. We'll see.
How about the kicker situation, Joe? Why do we get rid of the guy that made field goals for a guy that's, you know, his kickoffs are looking like my tee shots in golf. Just
everybody was asking me that on Sunday. It's like, guys, I don't know. I don't have any inside kicker information. Yeah, I don't get that. I didn't get that at all. It's like, it kind of just sounds like, we like the guy. We like the guy we had before better. So we'll take him off the practice squad. But now they're stuck with him, because you can't. If you take someone off the practice squad, you got to keep him for at least 3 weeks. So yeah. Now they're stuck with him. Like, okay, he's like, well, he had a bad game. I'm like, well, yeah, but that's
my friend. Ugh. She's a Chiefs fan. She was texting me. She said, "Wait, you guys are starting him?" I'm like,
yeah. That's not a good sign.
I guess Butker. I think Butker hurt his ankle like in game two, and the game he came in, he like a 55 yarder, and it was great. And then he missed like three. So, yeah, and that's kind of scary, Joe, because when you think about that first game, you know, we can talk about T.J. Watt all we want, but, you know, Boswell was a big hero for that win, too, against the Bengals, and we don't have him. And I think this game is going to go very similar to that game. I think it could be a 20-17, 23-20, 24-27, something like that kind of a game. And you got to wonder, is this kid going to be up to it?
That's the thing. It's, you know, the Steelers aren't going to blow anybody out.
No,
they need every point they could get. They can't afford to miss field goals. That could be the difference in the game right there. Yeah. That could be it right there. And you know, Boswell was automatic. So
yeah, about as close to automatic as anybody in the league.
Great. Great. Yep. It looks like the Bengals are a 4.5 point favorite.
I can see that. Not surprised.
And the over-under is 43.5. That's interesting.
I don't see it getting that.
I'd probably take the under.
Yeah, I'd take the under of that for sure. But, yeah, so there's some things there that still make me weary. The kicking set. If Boz was in there, I'd feel even better than what I do. But no Boz, we'll have to see.
Yeah.
You know, but it's going to be fun. I think Heinz Field will be up for it. Kids, the people are going to be going nuts. It's going to be a good time.
I was surprised that people are still really into it. And apparently the crowd was a big factor in the game against the Saints. So that's cool, because it's, you know, sometimes, you know, when they're not doing well, they just, you know, the fans abandon ship. So that was cool that they were still there.
Yeah. My buddy's got season tickets in like 502. And I've been there with him a few times for those games. And that section's hit or miss. You know, you get some crowds that are decent, but it can be a few rows of empty. He said every row was filled up on Sunday. He said it was like, it was as close to a home opener as he can remember. He said they were pumped. He said they were loud. He said it was fun.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yep. And it was not the the best weather.
No.
Kind of cool. It's it's no fun, especially up there in the 500s to be where it's, the wind's whipping like crazy.
Yeah.
It's only 30 some degrees. That's no fun. I've been there.
Mm-mm. Oh yeah, it's not fun. No. I think game temperature is like only in the high 30s for Sunday too. So.
Oh, okay. You know, yeah. I am literally a fair weather fan. I'll go when it's dark. I mean, I'll go when it's warm. I'm not sitting in the stadium when it's like 30 degrees and the wind's whipping around. That's no fun. I'm no popsicle.
No, I can sit here and I got my you know, TV, got my couch, got my snacks, and
right.
It's if they run like this again next week, Joe, and I mean, hey, it actually, I think it looks like they could. 144 yards, 217, 361 over the last 2 weeks. If they can get 150 to 180 yards rushing next week, I think they're in this game.
I think it's exciting. It's exciting that yeah, at the very least they could keep it close. So
yeah. And it seems to me like Pickens is due. Like I thought the way he started out that game on Sunday, we were going to see a big game for him. And then it kind of went away. He started throwing the ball to Johnson. I don't know what Johnson was thinking on that one reception.
Hey, I got the first down. I'm going to make his throw much harder and go backwards.
Yeah. Yes. So, yeah. Like he used to take Bo Jackson, Tecmo Bowl, make him run backwards. That's what it looked like. But I do feel like if one of them can have a bigger game, I'd be a little more comfortable too. Like whether it's Freiermuth or Deontay, somebody with like 7 or 8 catches, 112 yards, a touchdown or two, we could use that this coming week.
Pickens is due. Pickens is due for a monster game. And like you said, it's there on the tip. He's just ready to break out. And I think it's going to happen soon. It's yeah. I mean, they got him a rushing touchdown, the times that he did run, he did look good, which is good. Those lovely jet sweeps that we love so much.
Yeah, I like the jet sweep down there. I don't like the jet sweep when it's 3rd and 9 and we're on our 40. That I'm not as big of a fan, but I like that play call. So you know, as much as we bemoan Matt Canada at times, that was a good call. So there were a couple calls yesterday that I did like. So yeah, who knows? Maybe we're getting too far ahead of ourselves, but there's kind of a cadence here and a rhythm I'm starting to like. If they can keep that up, who knows?
It's, you know, we haven't had to deal with seeing a rookie quarterback try to figure things out for 20 years now. So I don't want to say it's cool seeing Kenny, you know, struggle or something like that, but it's interesting to see him progress. And he did make a step forward, even though, but he still has a long way to go. So it's just exciting to see. And
yeah, you bring up a really good point, because I can deal with the Najee haters. They have some points, but the people who are hating on Kenny, like I think you said it, I said it, Jerry Dula, everybody said it. Ben stepped into a team full of future Hall of Famers, a team that was going to eventually win 2 Super Bowls and go to a third. Kenny's not on that same team. It's not even remotely close. I mean, TJ Watt, you know, TJ Watt's probably the only person that I think was the caliber of what those teams were.
All Ben had to do was hand off to Jerome Bettis every play.
Yeah.
That would make any quarterback look good.
Right. Or if then he had Willie Parker, you know, yeah, who was great. I mean, there was the Alan Faneca, probably one of the best guards to play over the last 25 years. Yeah, it's a lot different, folks.
Yeah.
It's a lot different.
You're on a team with a bunch of Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
And that ain't it now. So yeah, I remember when Jaromir Jagr was a rookie, and people would say, leave him alone, he's just a boy. That's what I want to say about Kenny Pickett. Leave him alone, he's just a boy.
I want to say the same thing. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. And we all saw what Yikes turned into. And I think you can start really, they definitely have some pieces in place to get it going in that direction. It's just not where it was when Ben stepped in. So,
Yep. It's a young team, and we'll see what happens. But ooh, it's exciting. I'm actually excited. I like the chances against the Bengals. I like that. That's
yeah. A lot different than a few weeks ago when you're sitting there like, oh Lord, you know, how are we gonna get through this one?
But right. And that's how it was. It was just so depressing. I was like, my goodness, like,
and if you're sitting there saying that, and I'm sitting here saying it, then the locker room's definitely saying it. And that's what I mean about Watt and the power, the impact he has. You know,
they all say, oh, they're professionals. They always play their best and stuff. It's like, no. They psychologically, stuff like that matters. And when they see TJ Watts there, it's like, oh, we got him back. We got a good chance now. And that makes him play better. So it's just such a big ripple effect.
Yeah. And all of from the Saints, he's having a great year. He's having a rookie of the year type year. He's the kind of guy, you know, if you're doing the fantasy stuff like you and I do, only we're not having great seasons from what I can see on Twitter. But he's the kind of guy you got your eye on already for next year. That could be a stud. And they did a very good job keeping him, you know, tied up late yesterday for the most part.
It's nice that there are certain things, so many things change in the world, but Andy Dalton sucking remains the same. Andy Dalton in Pittsburgh, it's heartwarming to see that he's still awful.
Yeah,
it was good to see him again. Just
that was you or somebody I saw, like, insert any Andy Dalton game you've ever seen in Pittsburgh here.
Basically, yes,
he's got to hate coming here, man. He just has to.
Every time, he's just so bad.
Yeah, he's bleeding yesterday on his nose. I mean, it's just like, yeah, it's an Andy Dalton Pittsburgh game. Yeah, doesn't matter what uniform you're wearing, it's just not good.
I wonder if he was like during the week, he's like, are you sure someone else can't play? Yeah. Are you sure?
Right. Right. Do I really got to do this again? Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's the Steelers have some momentum, which they haven't had in a while, even against the Eagles, you know, which we all knew they were going to lose that game. But to have 144 yards, they build on that with what they did this week. So who knows what they can do next week?
I mean, you don't want to get ahead, but yeah, after the Bengals is at Indianapolis, and that's a guaranteed win. They got their feel good win. They got Ted Lasso running the show now. That's cute. Okay, it's a cute story. He's not winning any more games, so that's a win, and it's on prime time when on a Monday night. So that's fun. Yeah. Falcons actually, I think, is going to be a tough game. Falcons are like fluky, weird, fluky, sneaky good.
They're very fast. That's a very young Falcons team too. So you're right. That's a toss up right there. You're not sure. Boy, how about Bill Cowher tearing into Jeff Saturday? Did you see that? I mean,
yeah.
I got to say, Joe, I didn't disagree with him.
This whole thing just shocks me. I thought when it happened, it's like, you just laugh at it. And it's like, okay, you're weird, whatever. But the way people are so upset about it really surprised me. And Cowher Cowher wants to fight somebody. My goodness.
Yeah, he had the chin going. I mean, you know, I mean,
he got the chin going and the Pittsburghese going.
Yeah, it was coming.
When he's saying you know he's mad.
There's craft. I feel bad
for anybody in that studio because they are probably getting spit on.
Oh yeah.
He was probably spitting on someone.
Yeah. But I mean, like, he summed that up better than anybody. And that's the thing. Like, I think Jeff Saturday was a great center. Unbelievable, but he's right. You know, I mean, it's like, hey, Jeff Hardings was a great center for us. Dermonti Dawson was, but you don't see them getting called just to come in and coach the Steelers. You know, I mean, God, if something were to happen to Mike Tomlin, I don't think the Cowher's right. They'd make Matt Canada or somebody, Jerry Oshowski, the head coach, not some consultant.
Yeah. I mean, it's an insult to, especially like you said, you are basically giving up your life when you become a coach in the NFL. you're basically, you're not seeing your family. You're probably sleeping at the facility. You're spending like every waking moment at like working at your job. And, you know, all those guys that put in their time and paid their dues and just got whatever. And then you just decide to hire your friend. That's just, that is an insult.
Yeah. And I think it just was, you know, coming from Bill Cowher, just made it so much relevant in this town. And it was just, you know, it was like seeing a Bill Cowher conference in 1998. I mean, it was kind of fun.
Those press conferences with Bill Cowher, especially after a loss when he was angry, he didn't hide anything.
No,
I'm surprised he didn't like knock out anybody, because it just seemed like he got so angry.
Well, you point out all the time what we're used to, how we're spoiled. How many years we dealt with Chuck Knoll just being Chuck Knoll after a press conference? You know, he didn't give you anything. And then you get Bill Cowher, who's just, you know, stuffing papers in referees' pockets and, you know, screaming the Who Day chant in the locker room after they beat him.
Who Day? Yeah. Who Day?
That was that. I'll probably watch that video three times.
That's week. Awesome. Yeah.
It's like Bengals prep. It's like, you got to. But yeah, when I don't know, that actually came up like just a few minutes before kickoff. I'm like, because I didn't see it live. I'm like, okay. I was like, oh, that's just like vintage Cowher.
Everybody was talking about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, really interesting stuff. So I agree with you on the Colts. I think they got there, you know, we got rid of our coach when it always seems like there's like that, like college. I think Nebraska did the same thing when they got rid of Scott Frost. It's like the same thing in the NFL. Well, we got rid of him, then, you know, guaranteed win the next week.
It ties into what we just talked about with TJ Watt. TJ Watt comes back and everybody's like added to everybody's hopes get up and everybody, you know, plays a little bit harder. It's like you have a new coach. It's like you want to play good for the new coach and think that this is like, you know, the start of something wonderful. And then, you know, things come crashing down to earth.
Yeah. One thing I did have marked down, Joe, to discuss too, is I was not impressed with special teams yesterday. We weren't good in coverage. I was waiting for that kid from the Saints to take one back, because he ran a couple back over 20 yards in the first half. They got a little bit better in the second half, but it wasn't pretty yesterday. Penalties, the field goal kicking, punting was okay. Special teams needs to get a lot better real quick if they're going to do what we're saying.
You there's not much room for error here. You can't turn the ball over, and you can't give up big plays on defense or special teams. You can't. Yeah. I mean, if you're in a close game and you give up like a punt return for a touchdown, then basically you could flush the entire game away.
Yeah. And the Bengals have some of the better kick and punt returners in the league. So that part concerns me going into this week. They got to get a lot better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Without a doubt.
So we shall see.
Yeah,
I'm excited.
It's Bengals week. It's going to be fun. And I definitely look forward to hopefully a good game and a game I think is winnable.
It's just funny how things have turned, because it was just a year ago that the Bengals absolutely destroyed the Steelers. And that, and like the Bengals were, you know, they were up and coming. They were having a good year. They were really feeling themselves. And they're, you know, used to getting beat by the Steelers every single year. It's like, finally, we have revenge on you guys. And you remember Tyler Boyd was saying, it's like, well, they gave up and stuff like that. It's like, you don't hear that now. You don't hear them saying, you know, talking trash and stuff like that. So, Now it's almost reversed. It's now the Super Bowl, the AFC champions are the ones that are maybe fat and happy.
Yeah, it's funny about that dynamic too. The Bengals are always like the little brother, right? Like, we're always kind of more concentrated on the Ravens and hating the Browns, and because the Bengal fans, they hate us. Like, if you ask any of them, they hate us yes. first, and then the Browns and the Ravens, we're like, oh, okay. You exist. Good.
And you are.
You are. Yeah. Like, you're like, go over here. We have the Browns and the Ravens to talk to. Mostly the Ravens. Yeah. But yeah, Bengals fans just legitimately hate us.
Well, and then there was that time like 5 years ago where every Steelers Bengals game resulted in like death or serious injury. I mean, there was the Ryan Shazier game, which was an accident, but the Antonio Brown thing. I mean, basically, it was Vontaze Burfict. Vontaze Burfict was like one of the worst humans on the planet.
He was. What a
horrible person. I mean, just a cheap shot. It was just him, like all kinds of cheap shots everywhere. And then Juju got back at him one time, and it just like they like it was almost like scary when those two teams got together. There was just no respect for each other, and they would just try to hurt each other. It was scary.
Well, the playoff game with the coaches out on the field and Joey Porter out there. Yeah, like you don't want to piss off. I have been shocked. I don't mean this, I guess, in a bad way, but you know, being a Penn State fan, being at most of the games, seeing him at games, he just sits there. He's like the nicest guy. I've talked to him once, and he's just kind of like happy to be there. Like, who are you? Like, he doesn't say, you know, you thought like, well, if anyone's going to criticize James Franklin, Joey Porter, he's just, you know, and of course his kid, Joey Porter Jr. He hasn't given up a touchdown yet this year to anybody, to nobody. I mean, he's probably a top 10 pick.
From what I understand, he plays cornerback like his dad played linebacker. So.
Oh, he's out there. He's out there. He gets into it with all of them. The Ohio State had to move Marvin Harrison Jr. to the slot in that game because he couldn't get
to get away from Joey Porter Jr.
Couldn't get away from Joey Porter Jr. And of course, then they did that. And of course, Franklin didn't adjust and they lose the game. That's, you know, almost carte blanche with Franklin. But I've just been really impressed that he's been, because like the Penn State fans are like, oh, he's so nice. I'm like, that's not him. I mean, you don't understand. He's like snarling and killing. And like, remember when Sports Illustrated had him on a cover, nothing but his shoulder pads. And like, you know, I mean, there's just nothing but muscle and like the pit bull or whatever they call it. That's just, he's just sitting there in the stands like,
He was vicious. He was vicious on the field and he was vicious off the field because of the things he would say. I remember he would always still say like even after the whole Spygate stuff with the, every time years later, he's still bringing it up. It's like, yeah, they cheated. They cheated us. Like he is not afraid to speak his mind. So
no,
I wonder if his kid's like, dad, shut up.
Over the years, like Troy has kind of started jumping on that too a little bit. And I think it's because Joe's the catalyst for it. But yeah, I don't know if his boy said the same thing. Like, just keep your mouth shut, dad. Let me get through this, you know.
Anytime you see a 2023 draft mock draft, they have Joey Porter Jr. going to the Steelers. I mean, it makes a lot of sense, but we'll see. I mean, maybe the Steelers will keep winning and not be able to draft him because Joey Porter Jr. will just go like top 10 or something.
Right. And here we sit and we complain on here and on Twitter about, we need an offensive lineman, but you know, darn well, if Joey Porter Jr. is there, we're all going to be like, you got to get Joey Porter Jr.
Have to take him.
From Utah. No,
no. Is a tackle from Utah a kid of any former Steeler? No, then we're not taking him.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I can, you know how that would be. People the next day will have Porter Jr. jerseys. It'll be.
Please, if you do end up with the Steelers, wear number 55. So we just put the words J, we're just something in marker, just JR in the back. You save us a lot of money, dude.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I know someone said that they saw a number 10. I think they had Cordell Stewart jersey and they crossed it out with yellow duct tape and put that. That's a Yinzer. Yeah.
That's a total Yinzer move. Yeah. I did like somebody had a Russell Wilson jersey and instead of Wilson, it was a Russell Wilson Seahawks jersey instead of where Wilson is, somebody put like the words 2 first round draft picks or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So we will see, but it's exciting. This might be a new hope.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I'll leave you with this. I had to laugh. My wife and I were looking at a few homes. I said, I got to get a room so I can have a good background like Joe. I got nothing. I got stuff, but I don't know where to put it. Joe's got like,
see,
that's like a castle. I got to come tour that sometime.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I got, there's like, Yeah, there's whole kind of I need a bigger room, and I have like too many things like just like in the background and stuff that don't even show well. So yeah, I do. I need to either give like a video tour or like have people come over and just look at all this stuff.
2023 NFL draft party at your house Thursday.
Ooh, there you go.
Yeah.
All right, man. Hey, thanks
Take
a lot.
Take care.
We'll see you.
See you. Bye.